Hello and welcome back to The Target Podcast, powered by Hollywood Bets. As always, I'm your host, Dershawn, and joining me in studio today is English Premier League football analyst, Jesse Nagel.
Thanks for having me again, Desh. Honored to be chatting once again about the Premier League. And of course, I'm speaking as a happy Arsenal supporter as well.
Of course, you're referring to your 1-0 derby win against Crystal Palace. A massive 3 points for the Gunners there.
Massive, and again, that was so significant, more than 3 points. We saw Eberechi Eze get on the score sheet for the first time. Iconic, symbolic that he scored against his former club as well. So,
are we expecting more from him?
Let the good times continue.
Top of the log as well, mind you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, look, starts of the season, everyone had Liverpool as favourites. I myself thought, look, it's going to be hard to catch the beast that is the Reds, but looking at what Liverpool have done, what Arsenal have done, what Man City have done, you'd almost argue that it's failure if Arsenal don't win the league from this point.
Failure, that's a big word over there. Mm. Let's wait and see how that prediction plans out. Looking at Crystal Palace, though, they're up against Brentford this weekend, left licking their wounds.
Yeah, London derby, always a tricky one for both teams. Crystal Palace, I mean, look, you can almost draw a line through that Arsenal defeat. It's in this current form, anyone is going to lose to this Arsenal side, so there's no shame in that. Brentford, off the back of a memorable victory against Liverpool, fully deserving of their 3-2 victory, and even though conceding two goals in the game, you always felt like Brentford were in control of it. Yes, there's question marks about the penalty, but Brentford's strengths are just there for everyone to see. It's set pieces, it's long throws, isn't it? So
I was massively impressed by Damsgaard. I thought his defense splitting pass to play Shadow was just sensational.
You know what? I don't even want to single out Damsgaard, Desh, because you single Damsgaard out, you single Coyote out. There's Shadow, Thiago. You're going to have to do it's almost a disservice to the rest of the players to single out one because of the shift that they put in.
Yeah, then there's also Keith Andrews. I mean, his first managerial position, if I'm not mistaken, coming in to take the reins after Thomas Frank, and what a stellar job he's done.
Yeah, it shows the blueprints of Brentford, and I think we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, is that players move on, coaches move on, all the personnel at every level of the club seems to move on, but they've got the blueprint sorted out now, so more adjustments is likely to happen over the next couple of seasons. Bigger clubs, with all due respect, will come for their players once again. They will probably move on and shift on. Brentford's not going anywhere.
Yeah. This weekend, are they going to get it done at Selhurst Park?
It's always tricky when two teams equally impress you in different ways. It makes it harder to predict. Look, Selhurst Park, I assume that has to have some sort of deciding factor in this fixture. Crystal Palace perhaps to just edge it, but not a disgraceful defeat for Brentford.
Yeah, all right. Next up, we've got Nottingham Forest hosting Manchester United at the City Ground. I believe it's Sean Dyche's first home Premier League match in charge.
Yeah, and what a time for this match to happen, because you've got Sean Dyche's home game. Ruben Amorim seeking 4 successive wins. Of course, he just comes back from 3 successive victories for the first time in his Man United career. So, yeah, very telling. Look, I'm always one to not back a loser until they win. I think there needs to be some sort of form shown. I don't believe in new manager bounce.
Yeah.
I think that it's still the same personnel that have let 2 coaches down this season.
Yeah.
And the problems are not going to go away overnight. So,
I think the last time they were at the City Ground, they dispatched Porto by 2-0. And yeah, then, look, of course, they went away to Bournemouth and were defeated 2-0.
No, I get you and I hear you. But, look, we know that one result isn't as significant in football. We saw Liverpool beat Frankfurt 5-1 in the Champions League and then went on to lose their 4th successive league game as well. So the competition they're playing in is telling. It's a huge factor. And Manchester United, man, Brian Mbeumo, Matheus Cunha, Bruno Fernandes, Casemiro. I mean, we have to shout him out as well. So he's looked good. Man United have looked good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's 4-0.
I don't believe in new manager bounce, but do you believe in the form that they're bringing into the City Ground this weekend?
Nah, there's just very little optimism around Nottingham Forest. I think they're going to go down.
Yeah.
I think Sean Dyche won't see the end of the season. And I think we were kind of toying around with the idea of Nottingham Forest having more than just three coaches this season. I think we had played with the fact that he could last till February, March maybe. So, I mean, we have to stick to our guns now. We've said that last week. We said this on the podcast. Our listeners need some sort of credibility to hold us towards. So,
yeah.
Let the good times continue. Yeah, for Manchester United, four in a row.
Well, in staying with the visitors, I'm sure Arsenal are going to get it done against Burnley at Turf Moor this weekend.
Yeah, Lyle Foster, this one's to you. Just take a break this weekend. No late winners. We've seen your quality. We trust your work. We'll see you at AFCON. Wrap yourself up in some cotton wool and just get ready for that one. In terms of this weekend, you cannot go against Arsenal.
Looking at his striking partner, I think Fleming scored a brace on his league debut.
Everyone's in a bit of form until they come against Arsenal. You saw Crystal Palace. And look, this is, I'm trying not to wear my heart on my sleeve too evidently, but Arsenal are that good this season. And the scary part is that you look at Arsenal, and yes, I don't think they conceded a shot on target in October, which is disgusting. So, yeah, you look at Arsenal and you almost feel like, yes, they run away leaders at the time of recording, and yes, they've got this brilliant defensive record, but you almost feel like there's more to come from this Arsenal team as well. There's still some gears that they can still find with Gyökeres to hit the back of the net consistently.
Martin, I'm glad Odegaard. You mentioned him, because I felt that he hasn't quite delivered, even though he's come in as a big money signing.
Yeah, look, I think the role of a striker is definitely changed. Yes, you get your Erling Haaland, who's going to bag you 11 of the 12 goals you score. But there's also other strikers around there who are like a Gyökeres, who are like a Bobby Firmino, who kind of stretch the back line and improve the players around him. So when Gyökeres is playing, you kind of see the space that Saka's getting, the space that Trossard's getting, is in midfield. It's helping everyone adjust. So, yes, kind of, it seems like Gyökeres has the burden on his shoulders of not scoring, but he's actually improving the players around him. So,
I wonder if he's going to flip the script when it comes to the North London Derby on the 22nd of November. Of course, it's Burnley and then Sunderland and then Tottenham at home.
Cannot wait. I'm licking my lips for that one. Yeah,
fireworks. Cannot wait. How many? What's the scoreline going to be this weekend?
Definitely a clean sheet. 2-0. 2-0. Respectable 2-0.
All right. Next up, we've got Brighton up against Leeds, of course. Brighton left licking their wounds after their 4-2 dismantling by Man United. Leeds United's coming out 2-1 winners in their duel with West Ham.
Yeah, it's so hard to analyse that, because you look at West Ham's form and you wonder how good Leeds really are, because West Ham are so bad at the moment. So, How do you analyze it? Are Leeds, you know, that team again? Have they turned the corner? Is that what they needed?
Let me just jump in here, because I saw, I think it's Aronson, the American player, take that game by the scruff of the neck. And then you saw West Ham really chime in towards the death. I thought Paqueta and Fernandes threw everything at Leeds and they stood firm.
Yeah, but look, when certain teams throw everything at you, it's just not enough. And had another team thrown everything at Leeds, how would they have taken it? Because it's West Ham, they kind of got away with it, I think. So, yeah, I don't think Leeds are that great. I think they've met the right opposition at the right time. And the counter-argument to that is you have to beat what's in front of you, and they've done that. But I just don't foresee any sort of turnaround. And I think Brighton would be very disappointed with that defeat to Manchester United. Yes, credit goes to Man United as well. But this is the game to now turn the corner again.
Yeah. Brighton currently in 13th position with 12 points from their opening 9 league fixtures. Surely that needs to change.
Not good enough, but they've also had a difficult start. Look, they've beaten Man City already, so they've kind of shown all Premier League lovers and all Premier League fans that this is what they're capable of, at least on their day. So, who am I to go against it? It's not like they're facing tricky opposition, yeah. It's newly promoted Leeds. It's a home game. Everything's in their favour. Brighton.
All right. Next up, we've got Fulham up against Wolves. Now, of course, Wolves fighting back from two goals down to take it to 2-2 before Lyle Foster with that last-minute winner. It's heartbreak at the Molyneux.
Yeah, I mean, what do you even have to say now? It's we're probably going to have to keep the shorts and sweet that they're going to go down. They're probably not going to win many football matches this season. It's the reality. The coach has got a new contract extension. I think even the board have thoughts for next season in the championship. The players need to start thinking of it. And yes, it's game week 9 or approaching game week 10. You have to be real in football.
There's the other international window that's still looming, and we do know that is a time the Premier League clubs like to change the managers. You also look at Fulham, and you can make the same case. They're hovering just outside the relegation zone, just 3 points above the drop.
Yeah, you know what the thing is with Fulham is they've kind of given you, they've kind of led you on this season because the performances have been there. They've shown signs of improvements. They've been sexy at times. It's just results aren't forthcoming. So they're easy on the eye. They're fluid in attack. Josh King, I really like him. I think he's such a talent. Scored in midweek as well in the Carabao Cup. But yeah, I think it's just the results that's missing. Performances have been there. I've been very impressed. And it sounds crazy. You mentioned the numbers there, and it doesn't...
Just 3 points from the drop zone. I mean, it's frightening.
Doesn't make for good reading, for sure, but they're giving you signs that there's something to come.
All right. This weekend, they're going to run out all guns blazing against Wolves.
This is their moment to shine. This is a chance to restart their season.
Okay, next up, we're at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium where the Lily Whites host Chelsea. It's a mouth-watering fixture, whichever way you look at it. Tottenham, of course, running out 3-0 winners against Everton last week, and Chelsea left it late before coming to Sunderland 2-1.
I've never seen defenders at that level at Chelsea. Have you? I've never. I think it's so bad. I look at their defenders and I think... I can name some unrecognizable. They shouldn't be playing for Chelsea at this point. I mean, Trevor Chalobah last week, the ball watching. I mean, he should get a subscription to watch that because he's got a free access to the stadium as a fan. Or I just thought it's so crazy at that level to make those kind of mistakes, and not just one player. I'm not singling Chalobah out. So I think Tosin as well. I like the young boy Achimpong at centre back, but he's inexperienced.
Young boy, but that just narrows it down to about 10 of the 11
yeah,
players.
Sorry, I should have been more specific. But I mean, I like him, and exactly with Estevao, France, and we'll get to the attack in a moment. But the younger players, the younger inexperienced players, are the ones delivering. Chelsea don't
Let's
have senior players.
Captain though, Reece James. I mean, after being out injured for. I think he was just done the captain's armband and he got injured like a month later. And, you know, he's recently recovered from that and he's been cast into the lineup, got some minutes under his belt. He's looked sharp, but this is not where you want to be as a Chelsea captain.
No, it's not. And I mean, he would be one of the fortunate enough ones to be there from some of the good times, winning a Champions League, competing for Premier Leagues, of course, tasting champagne, getting the taste of silverware. So he would know that this is not good enough. He would know that Chelsea's demands are much higher. I'm sure he's looking around and he's so shocked because, I mean, I am. But he sees it in training as well, so who knows what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chelsea, man, they leave me very little optimism or confidence.
Yeah, I think a home defeat against a newly promoted Premier League outfit.
It's not just a defeat. It's not just a defeat. It's the performance as well. If Chelsea got a point, had Sunderland not scored that late goal, you'd almost feel like Chelsea snatched a point.
Yeah.
And that's their home ground against a newly promoted team, like you say. So football's an honest sport. And if they continue like this, they're not going to get top four.
Okay. Let's look at the Tottenham attack then. Of course, doing the job against Everton, not an easy place to go to, Hill Dickinson Stadium.
The first team to actually win there, surprisingly enough. So, yeah, it's Tottenham, very impressive. They sit, second at the table now? Second or third? So, yeah, Thomas Frank is definitely cooking. Set piece FC, set piece ole ole, as they say in the Premier League. So yeah, they such a, how has Thomas Frank done it in such a short space of time? Because yeah, you look at Ange Postecoglou and his Tottenham team last season, what was it, 15th, 17th maybe?
Yeah. I think it was.
I don't even know.
It was something like 17th. I think United were 15th or possibly 14th.
So what, one place above the relegation zone? That wasn't good enough. And for someone to, because I mean at the start of the season, and I'm guilty of this too, I kind of wrote Spurs off as a top four contender just because of what I had seen the previous season and finishing 17th. I thought that was the level of those players, but obviously I was wrong, and I like the fact that I'm wrong, and I hope I'm continuing to be wrong, because Tottenham need to be competing for top honours, and being where they are, no surprise to me, considering the start they've had, the performances this season. Mickey van der Ven scoring a brace last week. What a player he is.
I think their defence is possibly the strongest part. I think defences do win you titles, and I know.
Let's not get away with
yeah.
Let's not get carried away, yeah.
By no means necessary am I calling them title contenders. But if you look at the fixture run in, Chelsea at home this weekend, Man United at home next weekend, Arsenal away, Fulham at home, Newcastle away, Brentford at home. I mean, the next six could make or break Tottenham season, because they may very well end up towards that relegation zone at the end of it, or possibly at the top of the table.
Yeah, I don't foresee them being in any sort of bottom half scramble again this season. I think if you are anti-Tottenham, look away, because I think they are on the rise again. I do think they get past Chelsea this weekend. I don't know with how much comfort. And Man United is going to be a tough one next week. They've got all the minerals and all the tools to beat them as well. And then Arsenal, it's a North London derby. Yes, the game's away from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, but who isn't motivated for that game? And, you know, Tottenham have shown that they can get results against Arsenal, especially away from home. I think they got a draw there a couple of years ago as well. So who knows, man? I'm not foreseeing any bottom half scramble at any stage of the season for Tottenham.
Speaking about results, this fixture always provides drama. Are we going to see drama at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium?
Yeah, the iconic one is the battle at the bridge, that iconic 2-2. Jamie Vardy was having a party in his house, and of course celebrations spoke for themselves. There.
Then you look at Tottenham, Thomas Tuchel and Antonio Conte. Also another battle at the bridge there.
That as well. But yeah, look, I don't think we're going to see any blood, sweat, or tears. Perhaps tears, perhaps blue tears. But in terms of a grudge match, I think all the players that we'd likely see that from, like Christian Romero. Some of the Chelsea players, you know, Cole Palmer can get stuck in and frustrates a few. He's not going to be playing. So I almost see it as just a comfortable, easy, relaxing 2-0 victory for Tottenham.
All right. Are we going to see any red tears when Liverpool host the higher-flying Aston Villa?
Friends of Villa. Nah, look, I don't know. Manchester City, you know, had the opportunity to end Aston Villa's winning streak last week. And, I mean, we saw some blue tears. So, are Aston Villa in the mood again? I mean, they've had a slow start, but what's it now, 4 wins in a row?
Yeah, it's four on the bounce. I think they were winless the opening 5, and now they've hit back with 4 straight.
So, contrasting fortunes then. Immediately, you've got 4 wins in a row versus 4 defeats in a row. So, very, very, very tricky. You know, how do Liverpool respond? Of course, by the time of recording this podcast, Liverpool haven't played that Carabao Cup fixture in midweek. So we're yet to see how they fully respond to that. But of course, this is the Premier League, and how they respond in this competition is completely different. So, yeah, I don't know. I think their weaknesses are just too visible for everyone to see. It's too easy to analyse for the opposition. Arne Slot himself has come out and said, we don't have an answer for just yet, and teams know this, and that's how they, you know, they are beating Liverpool. So
I'm glad you spoke about the Dutchman, because my next question was going to be, is he safe?
You can never be comfortable at a a big club like Liverpool and lose 4-0. There should be nerves going through the entire fan base. I see some fans are completely backing him. Some are not. I understand fans who back him because, yes, he's kind of bought himself some credit with winning the league last season. But if you're a fan of Liverpool and you accept 4 defeats in a row, one of those to a Manchester United team who had never won back-to-back games, and they dunked on your turf to do it. So, look, there's defeats that are okay, excusable, and there's some that just isn't. And he's reaching territory now where it's becoming inexcusable. So I do think there's a world where he doesn't finish the season. I just think that there's enough minerals at Liverpool and tools to turn it around. What do you think?
See 5 straight league defeats.
What do you think about Onislot's position? Is there a world where we...
Well, I think it's 5 straight league defeats this weekend. I think Aston Villa are playing with absolute flair. I saw Matty Cash take a first touch and then he rocked it from outside the box. I mean, we know Donnarumma is a special goalkeeper and it's going to take something special to beat him from that sort of distance.
Mamardashvili isn't that special, the Liverpool goalkeeper. So, yeah.
He's beatable. I get what you're saying. He's very beatable. Mm-hmm. You look at that Liverpool defense playing in front of him. Again, very beatable. Mm. If teams can find a way past, why can't Aston Villa? And we know what players like, I think John McGinn, every season, I think it's his last, and then he comes and proves me wrong. You look at Jadon Sancho, what he was
James
doing.
James Milner of our generation.
Precisely. Mm. Ollie Watkins is due a goal. We know what he can do, what he's capable of. You look at Aston Villa holding on to Emi Martinez, a big goalkeeper. Yeah. So who's to say that they don't sniff out a chance?
Yeah, look, and I'm glad you brought up Emi Martinez, is because if Aston Villa do get a goal, they are masters of the dark arts. And look, yes, it's not something you encourage in football, but it is a tool that can be used to frustrate the opposition, especially opposition that are so hungry for something to change with Liverpool. So if Aston Villa do get that early goal, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah.
But the truth is, those Premier League referees and VAR are watching, so it could be 10 to 12 minutes of additional time. So it's less reliance on that.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying, that they do have someone who knows how to play the game, who knows how to defend a 1-0 lead. Of course, he's a massive shot stopper as well. Yeah. So we've seen him come in clutch, of course, for Argentina as well. Mm. I think that he's more than capable, and so is his Aston Villa teammates.
Yeah, funny enough, I don't think it's going to come down to the brilliance of Emi Martinez, though. I don't think it's going to be a game of goalkeepers. I think it's going to be, you know, a fast-paced football game. Aston Villa might not give the same kind of threat to Liverpool that Brentford have given him with set pieces. But they are a team fast in transition. And Konate, Van Dijk, Kukez, Conor Bradley, they do not leave me with any optimism. Yeah. If I was a Liverpool fan, and thankfully I'm not. But yeah, you almost, with Liverpool, they almost go into each game now conceding a goal. So you'd need 2 goals to score or to win the game. And yes, Mo Salah scored at the weekend. Alexander Isak, his goals have been dry. He scored 1 goal in, I think, the Carabao Cup, but yet to score in the league. Cody Gakpo, yes, he finds the back of the nets at times, but performance-wise, he's never, ever wowed me. Do Liverpool have enough to score 2 goals at Villa Park? I don't know. In fact, I don't think so.
It's at Anfield this weekend, and I actually feel that Villa will secure a result.
Is that at Anfield? Yes. Yeah, look, it's a bit of a game changer.
Yeah.
Bit of a game changer. I do think Aston Villa have enough tools to get a draw. And yeah, let's say draw.
Moving on, we've got West Ham United hosting Newcastle at the London Stadium. Interestingly enough, West Ham's next fixture is also the London Stadium. And I want to say that these two fixtures, Newcastle and Burnley, could make or break Nuno's spell with the London outfit.
It's funny, it feels like he just got there. But yeah,
I don't want to say it, but I think he did just arrive.
Yeah, it feels like he just got there. But yeah, it's how you look at other clubs and how quickly they install their blueprint. You look at Thomas Frank, I gave the example earlier. You look at Keith Andrews, I mean, Brentford have posed different threats this season than they have in previous years. Nuno, West Ham don't look like a Nuno team. And that's quite concerning because you almost feel like he's adjusting to the players rather than getting the players to adjust to his system and his tactics. So
that sounds like a managerial mishap then, and that decision sits with the board of West Ham.
Yeah, I just think there's just such a misalignment between above manager level, down to manager level, and of course personnel on the pitch as well. I just think that the vision isn't the same. And perhaps the West Ham players think that they are too good for relegation. You've seen in this Premier League that nobody's too good for relegation.
They're sitting in 19th position right now on the back of three straight league defeats. I think it's all alarms ringing.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be. Look, Lucas Paqueta can look at himself in the mirror and say he's a Brazilian international and he starts for his national team and he's almost a hero in his country. Jared Bowen has been getting call-ups to the England squad.
He's a West Ham captain as well.
West Ham captain, and you know, there's so many players who can look at themselves in the mirror and think to themselves that they're too good for relegation. And football will humble you. Yeah, football will humble you.
Something else. This weekend they're up against Newcastle United, who ran out 2-1 winners over Fulham. A vital 3 points for Eddie Howe as he climbs the Premier League table, now sitting in 12th position.
I think they move higher up the table this weekend. The fixture list has been favourable for them.
Yeah, and in recent weeks at least.
In recent weeks, yeah. No, they've had a terrible running in the beginning, but
yeah.
Now's the time to get their season back on track.
All right. 3 points in a bag, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up, we've got Man City hosting second place Bournemouth. I mean, I couldn't make it up, really.
It's crazy.
Where do we even begin?
Second place. You talk about a team in this fixture who should be second place, and it's probably Man City.
They're down in fifth.
Yeah, which, look, I mean, points-wise, they're still in the mix at this stage of the season, but, you know, after losing and without scoring a goal, I think that's the more concerning part. And look, we spoke about strikers at the top of the podcast, and we mentioned that, you know, you get the Erling Haaland type of striker who will score 11 of your 12 goals. When he's not scoring, then it looks like a goal's just not going to come from any other player.
Yeah. Well, of course, he did put the ball in the back of the net, but it was ruled out for offside. So.
Yeah, I mean, goals in training, goals after the game, goals in, you know, in the warm-up.
Offside positions.
Offside positions. It's all the same. They don't count for anything apart from just target practice. But yeah, he needs no target practice. He knows where the back of the net is. I do foresee him scoring. It's just, you know, I look at the Bournemouth players and Semenyo has been arguably the player of the season so far. He's scoring goals for fun. He's I think he's second behind Haaland, actually.
He could be, but I feel that he's been sharing the spotlight in recent weeks. I've seen players like Clive take the game on. I think Marcus Tavernier on the flank. He's also been very impressive. I think Senesi as well. Trafford,
what a defender.
Back.
Yeah, Senesi. I've been very impressed with Senesi. And you look at, you know, Bournemouth. They lost Inhuizen last season. They lost the goalkeeper, Kepa.
They lost the entire backline.
They lost the entire backline.
As well as the
goalkeeper.
Two Champions League clubs, by the way.
Kirk is as well. And, you know, the players that have moved on don't look like themselves last season. Like, you look at Kirk is last season at Bournemouth, completely different player in Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kepa hasn't been getting any minutes, probably rightfully so at Arsenal. Inhuizen, not in the best form at Real Madrid, so there's definitely something happening there at Bournemouth and they're cooking. So, yeah,
Like the Bournemouth head of transfers has been cooking.
Yeah, I mean, he knows when to sell them. But, it's such a tricky one, eh?
Yeah.
I do think Manchester City do edge it, though.
I think there's going to be goals in this one,
surely. For sure.
Over 3.5?
Yeah.
Man City to win?
Man City to win over 3.5 goals, yeah.
Hmm.
Not
massive.
By over 3.5
massive,
goals.
Massive. I get you.
Yeah.
I think the listeners do as well.
Disclaimer.
All right. To round off this weekend's fixtures, we've got Sunderland hosting Everton at the Stadium of Light on Monday night.
Yeah, what's a Stadium of Light under the lights Monday night? Yeah, I mean, it just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? I feel like Everton are playing a lot on a Monday, though. Was that just me?
Well, it was. Well, they played on Sunday last weekend.
Yeah, well, it just felt like the
last fixture of the weekend.
They just seem like the main event or were they trying to have main character energy this season? I'm not too sure how the fixture list has panned out for them. But yeah, Sunderland, I mean, well documented on their story when they beat Chelsea last week. That went into second for the time being. Of course,
they finished the day in second place. It was the first time in, I think, 19-something.
Yeah, and I think the second or the best start from a promoted team in 17 years and the second best in, I can't even remember the timeline, but it shows you to what extent that they've improved. And, I mean, against
Chelsea.
You know,
Chelsea. I think it's a vote of confidence from the club because before the Premier League started, I think they awarded Regis Libris a long-term deal. I think he signed a new 3-year deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, look, is it down to coaching? Is it down to perhaps higher level than that? I mean, Sunderland have kind of given other clubs the method of success here because they've signed a bunch of players. They've spent a ton of money, but they didn't spend it unwisely. They've signed some good players, some good tricky players, flair, you know, sexy players if you must. But they've also signed some leaders. I look at Granit Xhaka and I think, wow, what a signing. And perhaps other clubs have kind of caught onto that method of signing as well. You look at Brentford, the signings they've made, but then they just go and sign Jordan Henderson as well. So you need one or two players to just help steer the ship. And I mean, you look at the team they beat last week, and we don't want to get derailed by this, but Chelsea had no leaders on the pitch. So I think leadership won them the game. Personality, grit, the fight, that won them the game against Chelsea. So yeah, it's definitely going to be a tight clash on Monday.
Would you say this is a winnable game for Sunderland? Everton at home?
Look, you know, you have to put that pressure on yourself. I mean, I was listening to Mikel Arteta speak about Arsenal and everyone is saying that it's their title to lose. And he invited that pressure and he says, yes, people must think like that about Arsenal because they are that big of a club. And, you know, if you run away from the pressure, then you're never going to succeed. Yeah. When you remember a couple of years ago, in fact, it might have been last season where Chelsea were in a title race until November or December, and Enzo Maresca told the entire media, told the players came out and said, no, they're not in a title race. And from November till the end of the season, they had such a drop-off where they ended up getting top four on the final day.
Yeah.
So you have to tell yourself these things, and it's, you know, it's psychological, it's mental as well. So to answer your question, Sunderland have to come into this game thinking that they've won it already.
Yeah. If they do, they'll have 20 points from their opening 10 league games. That's a real statement of intent.
That's European places form. That's, you know, that's good enough to qualify you for the Champions League.
Yeah.
It's good enough to...
They will definitely be in the Champions League spots should they win this fixture.
Yeah,
they already
for
are.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, the form is there to suggest that they are where they want to be. And we always say that the table doesn't lie. So, yeah, Sunderland, I mean, it's so hard to back against them now. I mean, they could be playing any team in the league, and I would, you know, share the same sentiment.
Yeah. Everton, on the other hand, 14th position. Dangerous times.
Dangerous times, but look, I think for me, the most telling defeats of theirs or results this season was last week against Tottenham. How do you lose 3-0 at home just and collapse like that? It's, you know, it always leaves a sour taste in my mouth when I see a team like that. And, you know, it's a team that's supposedly bigger, supposedly better in Tottenham, and you've just dropped your shoulders. You've just let them go past you so easily. I mean, two set-piece goals. You have to improve.
Yeah, well, it's back-to-back league losses for Everton. Surely David Moyes expects a reaction from his outfit this weekend. Which way are you going?
He has to expect a reaction, but unfortunately, he just comes up against a different team in Sunderland at the moment. So, yeah, Sunderland for me to close off the week, the week's matches with the victory and a spot in the top four.
100%. Well, football fans, you've heard it right here from English Premier League analyst Jesse Nagel and myself, Dear Sean, on Hit the Target podcast, powered by Hollywood Bets. Until we meet again next weekend, Jesse. Cheers.